Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Big show for you today on this Snowmageddon Insurrection Day, High Holy Day of the Left. Listen to that news piece. Oh, man. They can't get over it, can they? They just can't. They can't. And Kamala Harris having to certify her own loss. Oof-a. Was that awkward. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today on a Monday. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Still recovering from my foot surgery. It's infected again. And I'm going to see the doctor tomorrow, but I still can't wear a freaking shoe on my right foot, which makes playing in the snow with my kids a little challenging because I can't put a snow boot on. And the boot that I got from the doctor is not waterproof. So, yeah. But anyway, I'm on hot cocoa duty, and I was on pancake duty this morning. The French Toast Industrial Complex wins again. What can I tell you? The French Toast Industrial Complex wins again. And they scared everybody, and the schools are closed, and I don't think the schools need to be closed. That said, I am a big believer in the power of snow days for kids. So they do like to, you know, the kids like a good snow day. I like a good snow day. Who doesn't like a good snow day? So they're out there playing. They're out there enjoying themselves. They're having some fun. So good for them. I'm glad. And here I am with you on a Monday. And I don't know if you're listening at work, if you made it to work, if you're working from home, if you're listening on podcast. Either way, thank you. Donald Trump is officially now the president-elect of the United States of America, as Congress certified his big win, and awkward, very awkward, as the vice president of the United States, Kamala Harris, certified her own defeat. She can only be described as one of the most awkward, painful moments you'll ever hear. And we'll play it for you, because it's glorious. Yeah, I know, it's really just glorious. But, you know, listening to that CBS News report, I don't know if you heard it or not, but they, you know, they go on about January the 6th. They cannot let this go. And that's part of the problem for them, is that of why they lost, because they cannot let these things go, and they can't focus on policy, and they can't reach out to people, and they put a terrible candidate up there because they really were convinced that Joe Biden would win no matter what. And now the media, which was so complicit in just absolutely lying to all of us about Joe Biden's cognitive state, the media is trying right now to pretend like they didn't know, because all these Democrat politicians lied to them, like Chuck Schumer. Kristen Welker on Meet the Press over the weekend saying to Chuck Schumer, like, didn't you see this? How did you not see this? No, Kristen, the question is, how did you not see this? You're the press. You're supposed to be the fourth estate, the arbiters of truth. That's what you're supposed to be. And yet you didn't see it because you didn't want to see it, because you knew it was there the whole time. You wanted the Democrats to nominate Joe Biden because you thought he was the only one who could beat the bad orange man. And so you lied to us, you gaslit us, you joined in the fun, and you covered it up, and you went out there and lied to everybody. And that's why the people of this country have no faith in the corporate media. I listen to it now as a joke more than anything else. And it's why they don't trust anything that they hear or see, because they know that we've been gaslit so many times over the years. Oh, and little Justin Trudeau of Canada has announced that he is stepping down as prime minister. Not anytime soon, but he's announced his intention to resign as prime minister of Canada. Can you blame him? It's quite cold up there right now. It's very, very cold in Canada. So we're also having some technical issues regarding the stream. Actually, Justin, the snow day, it's all messed up. Henry has volunteered to stick around and help us out for a little bit. Thank you, Henry. We're trying to make it work. I appreciate you being there. Thank you. Thank you, Henry.
Hey, anything to keep the ship on, you know, hey, keep it afloat.
You and your mullet's back, by the way, which is a snow day miracle.
Is it back? I don't think it's long enough to be considered a mullet. Maybe a baby.
Last time I saw you in person, which was a while ago, it looked like a mullet again, but it's been a while since I've seen you in person.
Yeah, I think so. I've gotten a haircut since then.
Can we turn on the Henry mullet cam? Is that an option
for us? Do we have that up here? Hold on, let me look for it.
Let's see if I got to get my camera going, too. I got my Eagles Kelly Green on today in honor of their big win against the Giants. And Joey Veal Chops or whatever his name is. Joey Chicken Cutlets. What's his name?
Who are you talking to?
The guy for the Giants. They called Joey Cutlets. Joey.
Oh, Tommy DeVito?
That guy.
Yeah, he didn't even play yesterday.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, I'm not the big. That's why I'm not on the whip.
Were you sure you were watching?
That's why I'm not on the whip, you know. Part of the reason. I can't get on to anything on our Odyssey at Work website. We're having all kinds of technical issues.
Yeah, this is a disaster.
It's a freaking disaster.
We're all coming off like a break and everything. Let's just leave it. You know, you're listening to us. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you're listening to us, and that's what counts, all right? You're listening, and we are still at first and foremost a radio show, even though I do consider myself in my own head to be a big TV star, but I'm not. So, but Henry, but thank you for sticking around. Matt DeSantis is not around. He's unfortunately, though, part of the show today, so he's there.
Well,
I was really hoping I could just make Castro jokes for 4 hours.
I'd expect nothing less.
Right. But we still have the Cencerati with us today. So I really, Henry, was hoping that somehow DeSantis' connection would drop off and I could just call Justin Castro for 4 hours.
The abominable snowman gets him.
Yeah. I mean, can you blame the guy for resigning? Cuba is so much warmer right now than Canada.
I don't understand.
He's going to be wintering in Cuba. What's that?
I don't understand the connection at all.
You don't? Okay, let me tell you why. It's because he's the bastard love child of Fidel Castro, allegedly.
That's not the official stance of the Rich Zeoli Show. I want to state clearly, we believe that Justin Trudeau is the son of Pierre Trudeau.
Allegedly, but I'm just pointing out something, which is this. There is a picture of his mother with him, with Fidel and little Justin in Cuba right after they played Naked Twister 9 months earlier. So I'm just pointing that out. And it looks nothing like his father. True. And by the way, his father was so successful as prime minister, they named an airport after the guy. There's Pierre Trudeau Airport, which is the airport you fly into if you fly into, I think it's Montreal. So, Pierre Trudeau International Airport, which they're renaming to Fidel Castro International Airport.
No.
I think that's true. So, we beat Tommy Cutlets yesterday. Chicken Cutlets, what's his name?
Yeah, Tommy DeVito. Tommy Cutlets, you got it.
We beat him, even though he wasn't playing. That was a big win by the Eagles. Dude. And Jalen Hurts had a great game, I thought.
Are you sure you watched the game? That didn't look like Jalen under center.
When is Jalen going to be back in all seriousness?
Well, honestly, it's kind of unnerving that they've been kind of non-committal about where he is in his recovery here. Like, they're asking him, like, how's he progressing? And they're like, yeah, he's progressing.
My 10-year-old son, Patrick, had a great point, though, yesterday during the game. I'm like, when is Jalen Hurts going to be back? He's like, Dad, they're probably saving him for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did yesterday. But he has to clear the concussion protocol, and he just hasn't yet, and it's been almost 2.5 weeks.
And I said to my son, I was like, well, I mean, duh, obviously he's got to, because when are the playoffs? And he's like, are you serious, Dad? I'm like, no, I know when the playoffs are. Soon. Very soon.
That is correct. It is soon.
It is soon. So you see, I nailed it on the sports question by my 10-year-old son. And you think we're going to make the playoffs? Probably, right?
I think we're in, yeah. I think it's safe to say the 14-3 Eagles are in.
That's why I got my Kelly Green on. Look at this.
Yeah, it looks good.
For Christmas. This was a gift from my kids. You like it?
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. DeSantis, can you see it? No, because you're not streaming on YouTube. Why would you?
I'm not watching the stream.
You don't watch me when I'm on Fox? Why would you watch me when we're on YouTube?
I watch you on Fox. It's just never live. I usually have things going on.
Please, don't even start. And by the way, I'll be back on there on Jimmy's show on January 18th. But he's got a live studio audience now, and he did a stand-up set to start his Saturday night show off. And I think the panelists spoke for a combined 2 minutes and 4 seconds. So don't hold your hopes up that I'll have much to say when I'm on there again on the 18th. A little bit of a format change to the show. So it's all right. It'll still be fun, though, right?
As long as you're there, it'll sound fun.
Sounds fun. This is great. The three of us back together again in a snow day. I like this.
Like
old
times. Yeah.
And as usual, we have nothing to talk about and nothing planned. So this is like just like the old days.
It's a great opening monologue.
Mm-hmm. Probably my best one yet. If this opening monologue doesn't get me a Marconi, nothing will. No, I thought about coming out with an opening monologue today, but it's snow day. And on snow days, we kind of deviate from the usual protocol. You know what I mean? It's just how we do it on the show. And should it even be a snow day is the question. That's really the question. Did you look at it outside? What, did we get 2 inches?
Something like that. I mean, the roads were the bad part. Like, I didn't drive in today. I took the train only because I was like, I looked at the roads at like 10 o'clock. I'm like, nope, still not good enough.
No, no. Kids are all home. Oh, man. It's a lot when the kids are home. It's all I can tell you. It's a lot. Just don't have kids. No, I mean, I'm kidding. They're miracles. They're germy little disgusting miracles, but don't have them. Seriously, don't do that to yourself. Don't do that. All right, let's start the show. Darn it. We got a big show for you today coming up, actually, and we got a great guest joining us, Hans von Spakarsky, which is great. Hans, Bubby, he's going to join us today, and Daniel Turner is going to talk about the fact that the Biden administration on the way out the door today trying to end oil and natural gas leases on his way out the door, which is infuriating, and President-elect Donald Trump has already come out and made some comments about it. But let me begin the show today by playing what can only be described as one of the most awkward moments in American political history. It's only happened three other times when the sitting vice president of the United States has had to certify their own election defeat. Richard Nixon, Al Gore, and of course, Kamala Harris today. But there was something particularly, I don't know, in the age of social media that stung a lot. But also what really stung about this for her was that every time they had to read the Electoral College results of the various states, they would the person would stand up and say, "Madam President," because in her ceremonial role as the president of the Senate, she is referred to as Madam President. And as I tweeted out earlier today, today she'll be called Madam President 50 times and then never again. So this is just an awkward moment. Here's Kamala Harris earlier today as she certifies her own election loss to President-elect Donald Trump. Take a listen.
The peaceful transfer of power is one of the most fundamental principles
of
America.
No, not that one. The one where she reads the results, DeSantis. That one.
It's in there.
Oh, no, no. You got to do the one from... Oh, you're saying it's like a mashup?
No. It leads into her reading the results, I believe.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
The peaceful transfer of power is one of the most fundamental principles of American democracy.
Oh, wait, you know what? You're right. That isn't the right one.
And it's not the right one.
No.
See, I told you we're having all kinds of technical difficulties today.
Well, this is my fault. That's 100% my fault. I have it here somewhere. Hang on.
It's Fugazi Insurrection Day. What are you going to do? Fugazi Insurrection, Snow Day, it's Snowmageddon, and nobody's working. Nobody's listening anyway. Actually, let's do a Zioli Army check-in. If you are listening, tweet or comment on the YouTube stream. Let me know if you're listening. We like to do this on snow days. I remember there was a time when I was in mornings. We did a little Zioli Army check. And so just let us know if you are listening to the show. All 12 of you today, because it's, I'm kidding, I know. But how you're listening, too. Are you at work? Are you working from home, fake working from home? And are you drunk? Because it is dry January, but there is a snow day exception to dry January. So I'm told. There's also an exception to dry January when Congress certifies the Electoral College results. There's also that. There's also an exception to dry January when the Vice President of the United States has to read her own Electoral College loss. And there's an exception to dry January when your kids are home driving you crazy because the school decided to cancel school for a freaking half inch of snow. So all those things do give you legitimate, legal, lawful exemptions from dry January, which I am doing, by the way. And I'm sticking to it faithfully. Why, you ask? Because I want to. I want to prove it to myself that I can. And honestly, there's so many great non-alcoholic beer options out there today. We're very lucky to live in this day and age. There's really good non-alcoholic beer options. There's Peroni Zero, Heineken Zero, there's Athletic Brewing, and there's different kinds. There's non-alcoholic Pilsner, non-alcoholic Golden, and non-alcoholic Lager. And here's the best part about this. After like three or four shots of bourbon, you cannot tell the difference between a non-alcoholic beer and a regular beer. You really can't. It tastes exactly the same. So it makes dry January that much easier to do. So that's my little tip for you right there if you are trying to do dry January. And best of luck to you on a day like today, that's for sure. All right, you have the right clip now, DeSantis, now that I stalled to give you time to properly
yes,
load it?
Sorry.
All right,
I have
go
it,
ahead.
Yes.
Number of the electors appointed to vote for President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, the majority is 270. The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 312 votes. Kamala D. Harris...
Oh,
Kamala D. Harris of the state of California has received 226 votes.
That's not enough, though. That's not enough. That's awkward. See, now, if Kamala Harris had any personality or a sense of humor, like if it were me up there, I would have been making jokes. I would have been like, no, what are you clapping for? I didn't win. Or I would have been up there and been like, and it turns out that Kamala Harris received 317 votes. I pulled this off. Psych. You gotta have a little sense of humor about this. But she doesn't, because she has no personality, which is why she didn't win, among other reasons, too. Worst candidate ever. In American political history, the worst. But I'll tell you what's going through her mind while she's up there. And the reason why she released that video earlier today about the peaceful transfer of power. Kamala Harris really does believe she can still become president. No, I'm not joking. Watching her up there on that podium today was very obvious to me. Kamala Harris truly believes she can win. She's going to run again in 4 years. I pray to God she does. I mean, I pray she runs. I pray that she's the nominee. I mean, please, sign her up. In fact, we may have to reinstate Russia's Operation Chaos just to make her the nominee again, because J.D. Vance will wipe the floor of her. But a lot of these people in politics are so insane, Kamala Harris being one of them. She really does think she can win. So earlier today, she put out a video about the peaceful transfer of power. And this is also awkward and completely unnecessary. Take a listen.
The peaceful transfer of power is one of the most fundamental principles of American democracy. As much as any other principle, it is what distinguishes our system of government from monarchy or tyranny. Today at the United States Capitol, I will perform my constitutional duty as Vice President of the United States to certify the results of the 2024 election. This duty is a sacred obligation, one I will uphold, guided by love of country, loyalty to our Constitution, and my unwavering faith in the American people. As we have seen, our democracy can be fragile. And it is up to then each one of us to stand up for our most cherished principles and to make sure that in America, our government always remains of the people, by the people, and for the people.
There
may God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
There you go. And Miss, what is it, Ms. Borker on Twitter? Is that her name? Crazy how she handled it with absolute class, even allowing extended time for applause. Meanwhile, she was getting snubbed for handshakes by senators' spouses, almost like you guys were always just sore losers and now even worse, sore winners. No, I'm not being a sore winner. I'm saying it's awkward. It's I feel bad for her having to be up there doing that. I really do. Really? No, it's painful. I wouldn't want to do it. It'd be like giving away your ex-wife at the wedding. It's not easy to do. Like, do you, John, take this woman to be your wife? And dude, you should run like hell. It's not easy. I'm just saying she's in an unenviable position. But she also thinks she can run again in 4 years, which is why she handled that moment the way she did. It's not really about class. It's about posturing for 2028. You see, the Democrats, nothing they could do about it. And even if they wanted to storm the Capitol, all six professors that they would have to be able to do it. Remember, a lot of the people right now are terrified to leave their homes still because of COVID. They couldn't even get enough people to storm the Capitol. Not even, I don't even think, dozens of people. There's more people listening now in the snow, like Papa Lee, who's checking in. And also, too, let me just say, let's see here now. Gary is listening to your snow day broadcast. It is epic. Oh, I'm sorry, Guy. Guy Savole is listening to the snow day broadcast. It is an epic broadcast. Thank you for listening, my friend. Papa Lee, Rich, me, and the other 11 people are listening. George Sweeney checking in at work. Hasn't been sober. I'm here, but my boss frowns on me watching YouTube at work, so I listen on TuneIn Radio. My man. Francis, on the radio, listening on the radio, driving home from work. Be careful. The greater Chris says, I'm not listening. So he's pointing out the fact that he's not listening as he's listening to me asking if he's listening. And Arcuda, listening as always. There you go. We have a number of people checking in right now in the Zioli Army. So thank you for listening, however you do it today. But no, the reality is Kamala Harris is gearing up to run for president again. And so what they wanted to do today was to show everybody how they can rise above it and do the peaceful transfer of power. without any pesky insurrectionists. The American people just don't care. They just don't care. If January 6th was such an issue, Donald Trump would not have won the presidency. But yet they still are obsessed with this day. It really is amazing. They haven't learned a lot of lessons. But you know who has, though, is John Fetterman. John Fetterman has. In fact, he came out over the weekend and said he wants to work with Dave McCormick. Good for him. I was in Washington on Friday, as you know, thanks to Mary Walter for filling in for me. I went to Dave McCormick's swearing in, and it was great to see him and Dina and all the wonderful supporters who gathered for that. And Dave McCormick is going to do a great job as senator for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He's fired up. He's ready to go. Republicans have control of the Senate and the House and the presidency. This is the time to get things done. And Donald Trump wants to get things done. He's laying out a very bold, aggressive agenda. And that bold, aggressive agenda includes an economic agenda, an energy agenda, and obviously a border agenda. And he wants it to be done right away. He doesn't want to wait. He wants to get in there and do it right away. And he should. Mike Johnson, like I predicted, reelected speaker. We knew that he would be. As soon as Trump backed him, I said it was going to be, he was going to get in there. There just wasn't the political capital to go against Trump at this point. So Johnson will be the speaker. But he has to realize, though, he could be removed at any point. You know, it's not the kind of thing where he's got the job for life or even for several years. He could be removed. So he does have to play ball. He does have to do the right thing here. And Republicans need to remember that they have the majority. So get things done. And this is the top story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venere. As we begin the new year, time for you to begin your year with a new smile from the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Venere. Just go to VenereaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenereaDental.com. And after being roasted by Donald Trump, roasted, absolutely roasted, yes, Justin Trudeau announcing that he will step down as Prime Minister of Canada. So we'll talk about that and what the implications of that are as Pierre Poilievre, one of my favorite politicians around the world, Pierre Poilievre comes out and says liberals turned on Justin Trudeau. Justin Trudeau is a tyrant. Justin Trudeau is a man-child. Justin Trudeau long past his welcome. But really, let's face it, he's leaving in disgrace. He's leaving as one of the least popular prime ministers probably in Canadian history. And Donald Trump still on the way out the door mocking little Justin as Canada being the 51st state. It's great. It really is. It's glorious to watch him do this. All right. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Tell me what you're doing on this epic snowmageddon. And also, too, a question for you today, which is, what do you hope to see Trump do right away? And what would you like to see him do vis-a-vis the January 6th political prisoners that he's talked so much about? There's a big story today that he plans to commute over 1,000 sentences. Will he do that? Well, we'll find out. 855-839-1210. It's a new day. It's Monday, January 6th. Snowmageddon upon us. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh, yeah. January the 6th, Donald Trump has now been certified as the president-elect of the United States of America, and J.D. Vance has been certified as the vice president of the United States of America. A new day is upon us, and we're very, very excited. And I'll tell you something else, too, which I think is really important to note, and that is that Donald Trump, his cabinet picks are going to get through. I mean, that's the word I'm getting, is that his cabinet picks are absolutely going to get through, which is fantastic. But we have a lot to talk about today, and that's why I'm very, very excited to welcome back to the show. He is a legal mind over at the Heritage Foundation, one of the best legal minds I've ever talked to before. Senior legal fellow in the Heritage Foundation's Edwin R. Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. He's Hans von Spakovsky. Hans, how are you, my friend? Happy New Year.
Rich, I'm doing just great. Stuck at home like so many folks, but still working.
Good, my friend. I'm stuck at home, too. Not only because of the snow, I had foot surgery. I can't drive yet. So, we're all getting through it, buddy, you know?
Well, fortunately, the snow didn't prevent the key people to be in Washington today, which is, of course, members of the Senate and the House. They
right.
Obviously all made it to the House and certified the president, and there were no major or even minor glitches of any kind.
No, and I know they changed the law to say that the vice president's role is going to be more ministerial, and that they would need, what, 20% to even entertain debate?
Yeah, that, you know, what's interesting about this is the main people pushing this change to the Electoral Count Act were Democrats, although, you know, it passed with Republican votes, too. It used to be that if one senator and one member of the House together signed an objection, then each House, the Senate and the House of Representatives, would have to debate that objection and vote on whether it was valid or not. They changed the law because Democrats wanted to make it tougher for objections to be filed after what happened in the last election, to make it 20% of each House. That would mean that 20 senators and 87 members of the House would have to file an objection, which made it impossible, Rich, for some of the few Democrats who wanted to apparently file objections, like Jamie Raskin of Maryland. It made it impossible for them to do it.
And Jamie, I was going to say, I mean, the only times there's really been people that objected were Democrats. I mean, Raskin objected several times over the years. They objected back when Bush won in 2000. I mean, Democrats were the only ones ever objecting.
That's right. Now, none of those objections ever made a difference because neither the House or the Senate ever voted to say that those objections were valid. But like I said, they made it even tougher for that to happen. And I think, you know, that was a good lesson in how sometimes when people do things for political reasons, it comes back to bite them.
What is the, Hans, what's the genesis of the Electoral Count Act in the first place? The original form that we had up until it was reformed by Congress after January 6, 2021.
Well, it was a presidential race in the 1870s between Samuel Tilden and Rutherford B. Hayes, in which I think it was six states couldn't figure out who had won their states. And there were competing sets of electors. And so what those states did is they threw up their hands and said, we can't figure out who won this election, so we're sending electoral votes for both candidates to Congress, and you guys figure it out. And at the time, there was no statute in place to figure out how to do that. Congress set up a commission to investigate it, and the commission basically voted along party line votes to give the election to Rutherford B. Hayes, not Samuel Tilden, even though Tilden had won the national popular vote.
And was there ever an instance where the Congress rejected the results of the Electoral College?
No, but there was a very interesting incident back in the 1960 election, and this is why, you know, the criminal prosecutions down in Georgia and some other states by liberal prosecutors, the criminal prosecutions of alternate electors is so wrong. In 1960, Richard Nixon was certified as the winner in Hawaii. The Kennedy campaign actually sued, saying, no, that's wrong. They set up a contingent, alternate set of electors, and eventually a court agreed that Kennedy had actually won. And so the alternate electors fortunately had met by the deadline, and they sent, basically Hawaii changed its position. They said, nope, it was Kennedy, and you need to count the electoral votes from Kennedy. That's about the closest we've ever gotten to a real problem since that election in the 1870s.
I mean, that's why it's so ludicrous, this idea of the quote unquote fake electors. I mean, had Congress rejected the electoral results back in 2021 and sent it back to the states, you would have presumably needed electors for Donald Trump had the state then came back and said, we think he won our state.
Right. Or if a court, you know, if he'd been successful, if Trump had been successful in the court, just like happened in 1960, and the court had said, actually, Trump won this state. If the alternate electors weren't available, if they hadn't met by the December deadline, it wouldn't have mattered what the court said.
See, this is why this whole argument of it being an insurrection back then, and, you know, I mean, I hate to, like, regurgitate the past, but it always infuriated me because there was nothing that they could have done that day to overthrow the United States and make Trump president again. I mean, at best,
right.
Congress could have rejected the results, which, I mean, they may have been planning to do anyway, but they could have rejected the results and kicked it back to the states. But there's no guarantee the states were going to change their minds after that.
No, there wasn't. And there was no insurrection. Yeah, there were protests. Yeah, there were people who criminally trespassed into Congress, and they shouldn't have done that. But this idea that this was a rebellion, that this was an insurrection, is just absurd on its face and historically just not right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm glad that, you know, I think the American people have seen through it as well, because obviously, I mean, Trump won again, you know, but I mean, to listen to the media today with their histrionics over just bringing this day up again. But as we go through the history of the Electoral Count Act, and there was a moment, too, where Congress was unhappy with who won the vice presidency, right, in the Electoral College, Hans?
Yes, there have been problems with that, too. And by the way, for all those people who say, oh, yeah, fraud and Donald Trump claiming fraud. In fact, again, that Rutherford B. Hayes race, the Samuel Tilden race that caused it, there were legitimate claims of massive absentee ballot fraud in southern states to not count the ballots of black voters who were voting for whom? The Republican, Rutherford B. Hayes. And that was one of the reasons why those states sent competing sets of electors to Congress.
I see. It's lost American history, right? It really is. I remember after Trump claimed the election was stolen, that people started talking about that election again. I talked about it again, and then I was so fascinated by it, I read a book about it, because it was just amazing, that entire election. And the cheating that they tried to pull off in that election. But it's not something it's taught in school, and so we were led to believe that there's never been any incidents of cheating in American politics. But of course, as a guy who used to work in Jersey politics, Hans von Spakarsky, I know that to be completely...
I remember
the days when they were handing out cigarettes to people to get them to vote.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, we just lost the president, Jimmy Carter. And, he might never have become president due to election fraud. And the reason being that when he first ran for office in Georgia, a lot of people don't know this. When he first ran for office, he ran for the state Senate. And his election he ran against an incumbent. And his election was stolen from him by the local political machine. He had to go to court, and a court judge concluded that, in fact, fraud had occurred, that he had been cheated out of the election, and he declared Jimmy Carter the winner. If that had not happened, if Jimmy Carter hadn't been willing to go to court and fight, he wouldn't have gotten elected to the Georgia Senate. And would he then have been able to get elected governor and then president? That's one of those questions of history we'll never know the answer to. But in his first race, a court concluded the race had been stolen from him.
You know how Thomas Jefferson doesn't have president listed on his tombstone? It could be like for Carter, it could be peanut farmer, election denier. You know what I mean? That's just
no,
but
that's
good
true.
For him. I mean, good for him for fighting back on that in that election.
That's right.
Hans, it's great to have you on the show. It's been a while. I think the last time we chatted might have been actually the Republican National Convention. Now that the president goes in here with he won the popular vote, he won the Electoral College, he's got the Senate, he's got the House. This is the first time in a long time where you can argue that the president has a real mandate, a political mandate, and has the party in both chambers of Congress to really get something done. This is a unique moment in American history. But of course, we all know that political capital doesn't last forever. And midterm elections historically don't go well for the majority party in the White House. So it's really imperative that he hits the ground running, right?
It is. And that's why, for example, look, we are now in the month of January. Yeah, he doesn't become president until the 20th. But the Senate apparently has already scheduled and needs to schedule hearings right now, this month of January, for all his cabinet nominees, folks like Pam Bondi, so that those hearings can be done. And the moment he's elected president, they can vote them into office so that we don't have to wait, and the president doesn't have to wait 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months for somebody to take over the Justice Department or the Department of Homeland Security. He needs those people in place immediately. And the only way to do that is for John Thune, who's, you know, as you know, the new Republican leader of the Senate, to get those hearings scheduled, like I said, now, in the next 3 weeks, and then immediately have a vote after Inauguration Day.
And it's also important for people to know that, you know, the idea of recess appointments is very, very tricky from a legal perspective and not really advisable. I mean, the courts don't like it. And so it really it should be done the right way.
Well, it should. But I will tell you that I think John Thune should end what Harry Reid put in all those years ago of in order to prevent a president from making recess appointments, saying that the Senate is never out of session, when in fact they are. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, what they do is every 3 days, even when they're on vacation, they send a lone senator in, he gavels them, gavels the Senate in the session, immediately gavels it out, and so supposedly they're never in recess. Who needs to end that? Mm-hmm. If they really are out, if the senators are out on vacation for more than 10 days, they need to have a real recess. And if the president needs to put in a recess appointment to get somebody into positions where they're immediately needed, he ought to have the ability to do that.
Can the vice president change that as president of the Senate?
No, you'd have to have I think you'd have to have a vote on that within the Republican caucus. To change that. So the vice president could certainly lend his voice to it, but he doesn't have a vote, and it would be the Republican caucus that would have to decide to change that. And I think they ought to change it.
John Thune really then is the power as the majority leader. Because I know people have had questions about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wrote a piece recently in the Washington Times, and I want to talk to you about that. Hans von Spakovsky is with me from the Heritage Foundation. It's great to have him back on the show. And the title of the piece is What to Do About Unaccompanied Alien Children. Liberals have built an illegal immigration system on the backs of kids. And obviously, we're going to have a lot of conversations about this. We're also going to have conversations about what's called, quote unquote, birthright citizenship, the 14th Amendment. So let's talk about that if we could, Hans.
Well, my premise is very simple, which is that the Biden administration is treating alien parents better than U.S. citizens for this very simple reason. Look, if you or I were to abandon our children by moving to another country or by handing them over to a criminal organization, what would happen to us? The kids would be handed over to a state child welfare agency to be taken care of, and you and I would be prosecuted, right, for child abuse, child abandonment, etc. Yet when these kids come across the border, what has the Biden administration been doing? Delivering them to their illegal alien parents who are already in the U.S. In other words, the illegal alien parents who abandoned their kids or handed them over to who? With some of the most dangerous criminal gangs in the world, the drug cartels, to smuggle them over the border. That is just completely wrong. What ought to happen when these kids are caught is they should be immediately repatriated to the country they came from, to their equivalent of their state child welfare agencies. Mm-hmm. Not a single one of these kids ought to be in the U.S. And any illegal parent who's here, who they know about, who abandoned that child, ought to also be prosecuted and then deported back to their own country. They should be treated the same as we would treat American parents and American kids, but we're not doing that.
You know what it makes me think of, Hans? My wife and I went to Cancun recently, and thank God our kids didn't come. My parents watched them. We haven't had a vacation like that in forever. But the hotel we were at had a kids' camp. where you could drop your kids off of the day and they could, you know, play with counselors and everything. You pick them up at the end of the day. It'd be the equivalent of you drop them off at the kids' camp at the Marriott and you just leave them there and you go back to the United States of America. I mean, if that happened, I don't think Mexico would be happy about that. You know what I mean? I don't think the United States of America would treat me and my wife kindly if we just abandoned our kids at the kids' club at the Marriott in Cancun.
No, that's exactly the situation. Yeah. The Mexican government, I don't think, would they would want to prosecute you, and so would the American government for doing something like that. But listen, if you're a Mexican minor and you show up at the border, the Biden administration says, welcome to the U.S. Oh, your parent who abandoned you? Where are they? We'll deliver you to them. Or have you got a legal guardian? Well, we'll deliver you to them, even though we don't really know who they are or anything about them. And by the way, the estimates are that of the over half a million unaccompanied alien minors that they've let into the country, they've lost track. That is the government. They've lost track of almost 300,000. They don't know where they are.
Yeah, that's a sin. I mean, that's a crime. It's an absolute crime, a travesty of justice. So unfair to those kids to not know where those children
are.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, no, it really is. And like I said, they're treating these aliens better than they're treating American kids and American parents.
Well, we'll post a link to your interview, my friend. It was really great to have you back on the show. Follow Hans on X at H. Von Spakovsky, S-P-A-K-O-V-S-K-Y, Spakovsky, and look at his work, too, at the Heritage Foundation. Hans Von Spakovsky, my friend, thank you and Happy New Year.
Thanks. Same to you. Thanks for having me.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Look at you with the sounder.
Yeah, just like I forgot guys. About that. I was like, oh, shoot.
But you nailed it at the end there. That's
got it.
Counts,
we got it. That's all
baby.
That matters.
You got it at the end. All right, we got a lot to chat about still. We're just getting warmed up here. It is January 6th. Donald Trump has been certified as the president-elect of the United States of America. Don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, yeah, baby. It's Monday. Snowmageddon is upon us. And Donald Trump has been certified as the president-elect of the United States of America. So that's good. Kamala Harris had to announce his certification, which was awkward, to say the least. Lots to chat about today on a Monday, busy Monday. And thanks for checking in. I just have to clarify, because I was reading on X before and I didn't have my glasses on. But Guy Savoy on X actually tweeted that he's not listening to the Snow Day broadcast today. So, Guy, thank you for clarifying that you're not listening. I appreciate that. Johnny Cook, it's very nice. Johnny Cook is listening on the app, doing some buzz driving in Southside Virginia where they got very little snow. Johnny, don't buzz. Drive, do you remember? Woot woot, okay. Woot woot. Do I have to play the PSA for you?
Don't make me dig it out.
No.
Don't make me play the woots. Don't make Henry get the woot woot for you. All right,
sure, everyone
Johnny?
Would love that. Actually,
buzz driving is drunk driving, Johnny. Like Brad. Okay, love that guy. Our buddy, Juliana Freeman, who writes for The Daily Caller and The Federalist and American Spectator, she's listening all ears with no snow. Thank you, Juliana. And Karen Thomas is out there listening while she's delivering the mail, because neither rain nor sleet nor dark of night shall keep that appointed letter carrier from their designated flight. I don't know exactly the words there, but I know it's a saying. So there you go. Excellent stuff. Good stuff. All right. Now, I want to mention, too, you know, as we are still looking into the future, we have to also think of the past. And there's a story that came out over the weekend regarding COVID and Fauci. I'm telling you, it's like it never ends. It's like it never ends. More revelations keep coming out. But there was a story that I saw in Breitbart about this. Dr. Andrew Harf published his piece and basically said that the entire strategy of the people in charge of our health industry back then was to subvert Donald Trump's presidency. Fauci and all these other people. It was a giant scandal to subvert Trump. Officials knew about the coronavirus breakout in the fall of 2019 sooner than they claim, and the biotechnology used to create the virus developed in the U.S. and was then exported to China. Dr. Andrew Huff, author of The Truth About Wuhan, How I Uncovered the Biggest Lie in History, said on Breitbart News on Sunday. Now, what's interesting about this is, if that's true, we know that there are biolabs in the United States of America where they make these very, very dangerous pathogens through gain-of-function research. Now, they are much higher level bio. I'm not a fan of gain-of-function research, and if it were up to me, the practice would be ended tomorrow. But they're much higher level biosafety than the Wuhan lab. But it's very possible that it was started here, brought over there for further research, and then, of course, their lab was not nearly as safe as a lab in the United States of America. Either way, we know this thing came in a lab, and we know that the first cases of this were in the fall of 2019 when the military World Games were going on in the city of Wuhan, China. Now, I believe purposely, this virus was allowed to leak. And until I see any proof otherwise, I'm going to always believe that. I really will. I'll always believe that this was not an accident. It got out of the lab, and it didn't get out of the lab by accident. It got out of the lab on purpose. The timing of this is too coincidental. And there was a time where I would have said, just a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences anymore. I'm very much like Don Corleone in that sense now, you know? So we'll talk more about that in the 4 o'clock hour, as well as New Jersey lowering hiring standards amid a teacher shortage. Why are they doing that? What does that mean? We'll talk about that as well on a big show today, January the 6th, Insurrection Day. Just kidding. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.